Central Daylight Savings Time, and we're finally on. This is a Supernatural Substation. I'm your host, Eileen Pastanio, and my co-host, Bernadine LeBlanc. We've been trying to drag you and say hello, hello. I can hear you now. But Mercury is really kicking our ass with this Mercury retrograde. We are in retrograde, and it is determined. You didn't get to hear the little screeching thing that was on there that Joe couldn't find. That was screaming in our ears while we were waiting on you to call in. So, you know, I'm trying to think of when did I insult Mercury? You know, it's like, my God. But anyway, here we are. It's Friday. Demon. Yeah, it's a demon. And it's all real. It's a demon. It is the, for those of you keeping track, it is the 16th of March in the year 2018. It's the day after the Ides of March, which is when old Julius Caesar died at 2 Brute. But no, I didn't want to miss our little, you know, our little end time here, because it's just like, you know, I like to keep my promises, right? So so I sent you some messages with some screen captures, and I don't know, I subscribe to all these boards, or I'm on all these groups and crap, you know, and every now and then I'll see an interesting question or something. So this thing popped up that was an article from 2014, and it apparently fake news, quote unquote, and it was about Aaron Goodwin leaving Ghost Adventures. And it was, like I said, 2014, and he was supposed to have spilled the beans that, guess what, Bernadine? It's
what?
All fake. It's all fake.
No.
My God. I mean, seriously. So these guys have been on like 9 seasons, I think, or 10, maybe even more than that. Okay. And it was a back and forth about check the year on the article. It's not right now. He's still with them, and they're in season, you know, bazillion, whatever, and blah. And then, you know, then we got, oh, Zach is the hottest person in the world. I think so. The purveyor of that comment, basically what I said, there was a woman who said, you know, all that crap is fake, you know, and they were going back and forth, and basically I just came in and, you know, I usually just watch and then go away, you know, but I said, you know, but she's right. It's all fake. Ghost hunters, paranormal lockdown, because, you know, the average length of one of these shows, right, is a 60-minute time frame. 20 minutes at least of that, okay, is commercial. Maybe a little bit more. So that leaves them 40 minutes, right, to show all kind of crap that they either got or they're getting, right? And sometimes they go live and they want to do this kind of crap. And you know from years of sitting in the dark that right. This stuff does just not happen on cue. Unless you're a trance medium and you're in there, you know, stirring it up and it answered you, it doesn't mean that anybody's sitting near you. So anyway, this girl comes on. I was like, basically they're all fake. And the only comment I made is that the problem I have with it being fake is that it, you know, excuse the science. Like we've been talking most of these shows that we've had about the science involved in, you know, paranormal research, quote unquote, or the quasi science and the things that they're passing off as scientists. So, you know, these clowns. So anyway, somebody comes in and, you know, she tells me opinions are like assholes. Everybody has them. And she's like, I'm, you know, whatever. She said, I'm really happy you made that comment. And she says, no one cares, but she didn't put the N-O. And you know me, the grammar Nazi. Yeah, see, hi. There's a space between N-O and O-N-E. Otherwise, it's a name. It's noon. So this girl's Dawn Raver, wherever the hell she is. And I promised her that I would talk about this tonight. So,
hope she's tuning in.
I hope so, too. If not, I'll send her the freaking link. Because I'm going to tell Dawn Raver, whatever her name is, something. It's all fake. Dawn Raver.
You know? Yeah, we're not talking about the documentary type shows. We're talking about the ghost hunter type shows.
Mm-hmm. Which we know from personal experience, and I know from helping them, right, helping them set up that particular episode, and having given Pilgrim Productions all of the locations where they needed to go, and they went to other places. It's okay, and they just chose to do it that way, and then they presented it as something that it wasn't, because, you know, plainly speaking, the cemetery scene on the French Quarter Massacre episode is filmed 30 or 35 miles away from the bar that Jim and I left. So Dawn Raver, open parentheses, Behringer, Hoselton, close parentheses, somewhere in Colorado. We hate to burst your bubble, but it's a bunch of bullshit, okay?
Hard as we did try to give them the correct evidence that we actually gathered during the investigation, they never used it.
Right, and that's why they never use it, because they want to make crap up. That's why. Anybody who's been watching Ghost Hunters, okay, the Ghost Hunters was boring in the first season because they were doing just that. They were saying this place ain't haunted, that place ain't haunted. You know, second season, maybe third season, Sci-Fi was telling them your ratings suck and you need to do something. So what does that get us? That gets us guys in black cloaks running along at the Eastern State Penitentiary, black cloaks with khaki pants running up and down saying that they're ghosts and they're shadows. Okay, Zach Bagans. I don't even know. Oh, he's the best looking man this girl ever saw. It was so
really, I mean, still after all these years.
Yes. Okay. I mean, he reminds me of George Clooney in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I don't know if you saw the movie, but all throughout the movie, he's worried about his hair. Okay, and he puts one of them nanny nets on his hair when he sleeps, and he uses
He does not.
No, in the movie. And he uses Dapper Dan hair, you know, comb cream or whatever to get it the right way. And somebody wanted to give him a little canister of Fop, and he says he only uses Dapper. That's Zach Bagans. If there was any more sticky whatever up in his hair, it would be like candy floss. He'd be making New Orleans Roman taffy out of that hair. I mean, it's. And then he got the black rim glove. Look, I mean, he's on TV, okay? I guess he could do what he wants. But for anybody, I don't understand. This is not 2000, whatever, when Ghost Hunters just appeared. This is not when the first shoe dropped on this big second wave of paranormal exploration or whatever it is, okay? And anybody at this point who believes that any of the crap they're seeing on TV that is entertainment-based with these teams and all this other stuff is real, should get another hobby, okay? Or full-time manage the Zach Bagans fan club, okay? Because none of it is. And none of it. I mean, seriously. And, you know, you have to, you can go to any sort of entertainment. Like, you know, I was watching this thing about Pink Floyd the other night, and they were talking about Wish You Were Here and all this other stuff. And, you know, how the record companies would put pressure on them. You got to get a record out. It's the same thing. It's entertainment. You know, I mean, you might like this big guy walking around there, you know, yelling and looking for whatever, which he's toned down, you know, but that's fine. If you look in the car, you know, you're looking every week to see him, that's fine. Okay. I mean, but don't believe that this crap is, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. They can have 10 gizmos, and, you know, and something's going to happen. I guarantee you they won't have the camera on. Okay. I mean, and they're falling over each other. Lockdown. Okay. What is the other one? It was Ghost Asylum, and now it's Haunted Towns. You know, these bunch of guys from Tennessee, they were the ones starting to build the gizmos, okay? We had Deep South Paranormal. We had, what else did we have? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I mean, pick and choose. Any of these people on TV.
What was the one from England?
Most Haunted.
Most Haunted? Oh, my God.
Most Haunted.
I had to stop watching them.
I'm sorry,
people
but I
don't realize
people.
If the ratings are low, then
yeah,
they're
going to throw more rocks. No, they're going
to
throw down
something for the ratings. Right. Now, shows like Paranormal Witness and, you know, things, actual people that go through it. I mean, I believe they're legit, you know.
Yeah, I do. Because
the paranormal shows that need to get more episodes to stay going. I mean, if you're not a paranormal investigator, you know, any paranormal investigator could tell you, you would have to sit in your dark room or a dark house or a haunted house even for hours and hours and days just to get one little piece of evidence. So if you go on a show that's an hour, maybe, And you
gotta give them, yeah, a good, what, 40 minutes.
Big old, like a table thrown and all this. I mean, really, as long as I've been doing this, that's never happened.
Right. Exactly.
And it's taken me years to get evidence from the little bit I do have.
And both, don't forget, we both lived it. You know, I heard a table being moved by poltergeist.
I mean, it is true.
That is the truth. And you're right. Paranormal Witness, I can say it's really good because they contacted me about what is in my book. And the problem that I had, I said, yeah, you know, I'd love to do the show, but they needed more eyewitnesses to the event. I mean, even though my cousin was involved, my brother was involved. I know my brother knows that some of the stuff was true, right? That all of it was true, but his portion of it. But he's, you know, he works. He doesn't want to be on TV and go in the next day and everybody, you know, laughs at him because he lived in a really haunted house, a demonically haunted house. So they said, we're sorry, we can't use it. Now, any other show would have said, oh, that's all right. We'll just tell a story and we'll just put in, we'll have actors now. So Paranormal Witness, they get a check for me. So does Paranormal Survivor. And you can see either one of those on the Destination, quote unquote, America, really actually Destination Paranormal anytime. But you cannot, with a straight face, come to anybody this far into this moment of paranormal exploration and tell them with a straight face that you believe that what you've seen on TV is real, right? So Dawn Raver, whatever, Hasenpfeffer, Binkelmeyer, whatever your last name is, everybody's got an opinion, right? Opinions are like assholes, you know, and you have one. And like I said, why don't you now go out and get the Kool-Aid and the cupcakes with the K for your Zach Bagan fan club meeting? Don't like it? Let me know. Let Bernadine know. Because we'll be happy to tell you off air as well. If you believe that, you need another hobby. Okay? So anyway, that off of the that off the chest. That in a week of a puppy dying on a plane. Did you see that? The little black French.
No, when it comes to animals, I will untag myself. I can't deal with it.
Holy cow. Now, well,
you throw a person off the plane, I can watch it.
But yeah, that's right. Animals. Just with a little 10-month old puppy, a Frenchie, French bulldog.
I cannot watch anything.
Well, if they're on a United Airlines flight, and this attendant tells this woman who apparently does not speak English, but her daughter does, that the dog, who is in an approved carrier that she paid $125 for, to carry this dog, you know, in their lap or under their seat, because it wouldn't fit under the seat in front. It could fit under the daughter's seat. Anyway, they stuck it in the overhead for 3 hours, okay? And this puppy yelled and yelled and yelled and yelled. And there's people writing about it who were on a flight. But, okay, Bernadine, I mean, would you listen to that for 3 hours?
No, I would choke.
I told my daughter, I was like, I would have walked up, I'd have put myself right into the middle of it, and I'd have said, I'm taking this puppy. Because if you, flight attendant, you think you're going to stick it in that bin, you're nuts. And if you, whoever owns it, and you can tell your mama who don't speak English, are willing to let her do that, you don't need this puppy either. I would get off, take the puppy, and go and call the Humane Society of the United States. And there it is. You know, and say, this dog, nobody apparently knows the right thing to do. Okay. So, but anyway, the puppy died. So, and I think we've got our guest and all of this raving and ranting and carrying on. Yeah. He's in the queue. Our guest tonight is David Barrett. He is a Scottish paranormal researcher. He is an author of the book. And I'm sorry, I don't have the info in front of me. I can see it, but the life of a Scottish paranormal investigator. But he can tell us. David, welcome to our show. Can't hear you, boo.
David?
Yeah, but I can't hear you, babe. Can you turn up your volume?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. You sound like you're in Scotland, like we can't hear you. I don't think it's us now. I don't think it's ours. David, why don't you hang up and try again, and I'll let Joe know. Thank you. Okay, let me just tell him he's going to try again and type and talk at the same time. But anyway, yeah, he and where he is, it's like 3:30 in the morning. So we want to make sure we get him in. I'd like to change places with him. I'd like to go see Scotland again, but never mind. But anyway, yeah, it's been a terrible week. I don't know. I guess you, I tagged you on this. I think it was the turtle. Did you see the one with the snapping turtle? Did you see?
No, that? I untagged myself.
Well,
this
got
to do with animal cruelty. I can't do it.
A biology teacher in I think Idaho somewhere who is described as really excited about life or really teaching the kids a lot about life. After school one day, he goes to feed, some kids wanted to watch him feed the snapping turtle, this huge snapping turtle, right? And this idiot, this complete moron, he says, okay. And that day he's feeding him a puppy. A puppy.
Oh, God.
He says, well, the puppy was sick. A puppy. And these kids are traumatized. And the parents are like, oh, for God's sake. Well, of course they are. Okay. And I mean, this guy was like, he's back. Are you there, David?
Oh, my goodness.
You have really bad sound. Whew. I hear you, but it's very, 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 very low. And we're getting a lot of info.
A lot of static.
Yeah. Joe, can you, is there a way for you to boost him? I don't know. Hang in there, David. You know, it's Mercury retrograde, so hang on. I can hear you a little bit better, but not a lot. Make sure your everything is turned way up. Yeah, on your computer, or is it your cell phone?
No, it just must be a bad connection between us and him overseas. Sometimes you get, because it's late, well, it's late here and early there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm listening to myself. We're listening. So are we live right now?
Uh-huh. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just on a little bit of a delay. Yeah, because he's really, really bad. The sound is really, really bad. But anyway, I guess I'll just go on to everybody out there sits with bated breath. Yeah, so this moron feeds it a puppy in front of these kids, okay? I'm like, and they didn't fire him. They let him go on teaching a few classes. I haven't followed it up because, like you, I can't go back to that stuff. I just, it showed up in my quote-unquote feed, and this instantaneous access to terrible things across the world is really, you know, it's like, I mean, seriously, it was like I began to wish I was 15 years old again, you know? I mean,
yeah, that's why I can't watch. I don't go scroll through the news feed because of that. When I come across stuff like that, I just can't stop thinking about it. Something that I can't control.
Well,
and
it bothers me
so bad that I can't deal with it. So that's why I just don't watch it.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you know, even, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, you know, we wouldn't know about stuff like that. Hello,
David.
Try hanging up. Okay, I'm just going to type another phone call.
Hey,
actually,
hey,
I can hear you now.
We can hear you. You got it.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is that better?
Thank goodness.
That's better. And by the end of the show, I'm going to be talking like you. I'm sitting here with an Anglophile, okay, and everything file, the whole UK file. So I love your country, I love your land, but you're here to talk paranormal with us. So we can hear you now. So that's great. We were just introducing you, but we would like you to just tell us a little bit about yourself and you know, where you are now and how you got here.
Okay, no problem. Well, my name's David Barrett. I started paranormal about 16 years ago. It was after I'd lost my father in a house fire. And I went to a medium and we were doing some Ouija board. Now, I'm a scientist by trade. My dad came through on the board. So I took my hands off the board and I was asking personal questions and I was getting answers. And ever since then, it sparked my interest. I've been to places like Bran Castle in Romania, Leap Castle in Ireland. I've investigated all over Scotland, England, Wales. I've got my own haunted museum. I've done Sky TV, and I've been on American cable. I'm on my second paranormal book, and I've just started a paranormal magazine.
Oh yeah, it's the Unexplained magazine. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
And that you just launched that. Well, I mean, you have a good pedigree. So you're telling me that when your dad died, you were a skeptic about the paranormal, and it was when you talked to him or basically got a response through the Ouija board that you began to believe or began to look into it.
Yeah, that's what first started. I was always sort of skeptical. I was never one. I used to watch some of the TV shows, but I was not, you know, because of our TV shows, it was never enough compelling evidence for me. But once I've seen what happened on the board, then I knew, because it was only private messages that I and my father knew. There was nobody else knew in the world. So, you know, that started me off, and I had to, you know, the hunger to keep on investigating and finding out more about the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we love it when somebody who's skeptical turns into at least a believer in, you know, which you are all in now. So, and you've mentioned all these places and everything that you have investigated. That's wild, and that's great. Dean, you have anything?
What kind of equipment do y'all use? Do you have like the whole Command Central setup, or you just have like a scientists and psychics and mediums and things like that?
In my team, I've got myself, my wife's the cameraman, and we've got Ian, who's a demonologist. He speaks Latin and Sumerian languages. We also move spirits on as well. We've helped out families throughout the UK as well. You know, they've maybe had some problems with some poltergeist activity, for instance. But what we do, our equipment is, we like to use scientific equipment like the trifield meter, these types of things. But my speciality, and it's all I use at the moment, I actually do like Facebook Lives every Sunday. I do ITC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I use Echovox and Geminis apps. But the way I work, it's all intelligence. For instance, if I'm doing a live on Sunday, I've got a pack of cards, and I'll hold the card away so that there's not any audio pareidolia, and I'll ask, what's the card? And, you know, I'll get the card. I'll even pick up two cards, like a four and a five, and I'll ask the spirits if they can add them up, and I'll get nine. Mm-hmm. I get the viewers coming on, and I get the spirits to say their name or their second name. This is all on a Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm. It's on your face. Is it on your Facebook Live?
It's on the page. It's on Project Paranormal. I do one every Sunday.
Okay, good.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. So we're gonna have to do that. I'm writing notes as you're talking. Dean's the tech person. I'm sort of I'm the occultist, basically, to her. I've done a lot of occult analysis. Get it out. For most all of it, when she's got a really complicated case, you know. So I don't really, I have said, me sitting in an investigation, I'm just going to put on a pound because I'm beating all the snacks that Dean brings and everything. But, you know, you've just mentioned some really, really frightening places. Lepp Castle. Have you, this came to mind. I know you've heard of it in London, 50 Berkeley Square. It's legendary. It's the legendary haunting. Have you had occasion to go in that building or, you know, to investigate it? I think it was a bookstore, but I don't know if it is now.
Yeah. I've not actually been there, but one of the most scariest places I've ever been is actually in Scotland. Now, we film all our stuff on YouTube as well. Now, it's an abandoned, it dated back to like the 1500s, and it's all abandoned. But when we went in, we were getting reports of teams going in there, and they were terrified. So we went down there to do a bit of investigating, and we found on the wall, it was some sort of like summoning, you know, like bringing something dark forward. Now, Ian couldn't decipher it. I sent it to all the demonologists all over the world. We can't decipher it. It must be something that's, you know, that's just to that specific area. But when we started up the ITC, you know, we were getting things like I'll Make You Bleed, Hell House. We were getting He Who Watches, Nagal. Now, as you know, Nagal is, you know, it's the great watcher of the underworld. Mm-hmm. We got Nero. We got We Are Legion. We were getting a lot of demonic names coming through. Now, obviously, we don't show any fear because, you know, we're just not like that. You know, we were thinking at the time, you know, there's nothing demonic there at the time, because if there's anything demonic there, it's most certainly not going to give you its name. So we were thinking it must be some sort of gatekeeper. But Ian actually done a removal on it. And you can, we always like to ask the spirits to come forward, because Ian can sense the spirits when he's going to move them on. And and we asked, you know, we says, can you tell us what prayer Ian's going to say in Latin? And clear his day on EVP form, we got St. Michael's.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, and this is all recorded. And we got, how many spirits did Ian move on? And it said 8. And we said, how many negative spirits did he move on? And it said 1.
Oh, wow. Wow. The thing, you know, I mean, we're just talking about it, but I don't know, anyone who's been there, is your whole country is so magical. People think, I mean, tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, right? So they think leprechauns and everything. But I mean, you have a history of, you know, I know Ireland had the banshee, but you guys had the Kelpie. Yes, the beans. Well, yeah, there you go. He's going to say it. He's going to say it in Gaelic. I can't say that in Gaelic. I can pretend to, but I can spell it. But you have, like, there's a lot of fairy magic. Oh. There's a lot of that green ray sort of elemental that goes on in Scotland, too. So what, the scariest place, is that the scariest place of all, or just in Scotland that you have investigated?
That's the scariest place I've ever investigated, because I'm closed off, so I don't generally see or hear spirit. I have seen one spirit in 16 years, and I've heard about maybe 5 or 6 sort of laughs or cries throughout my my career in paranormal, so I'm pretty closed off. But even there, I felt, you know, on edge. You know, there was something dark within there.
And what was your experience at LEB? Because that is notoriously bad for some sort of elemental thing that is that's taken up residence there.
Yeah. Well, at the time we went, it was, you know, it was quite active. We got a few things, but, I mean, it's like I say to people, it's like we could go in the Friday night and nothing will happen. Somebody's in the Saturday night and all hell breaks loose, you know.
Exactly. That's what we were talking about early in the show. It's like you can't plan it.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not, and it doesn't fit into the, you know, 40 minutes of television, you know, I mean, so we were kind of challenged on whether it was valid or not. And I just had to talk it out with Bernadine. But basically what we see on TV is entertainment, except for a couple of shows. But when you really, you get into the real deal like that, you know, there's supposed to be some sort of a sheep, I don't know, sort of a sheep-like creature there, and an ubeled, or whatever, where they threw the guy down. To die, and he wasn't the only, there was one guy that was like the brother of a priest, and he fell down there. But were you in that area? Did you investigate there?
Yeah, we investigated there. You know, we didn't get too much up at that area. We got more, I think it was sort of the middle floor, you know, where the tables were and that. We got quite a bit of activity. But there was no sign of the elemental. It only comes around at certain times, talking to the owner, you know, it's, I think he's experienced that. I think it's maybe 4 or 5 times in the length of time he's been there.
Yeah, that's the. Are those the people still there who renovated the whole thing? Because I saw it a long time ago on the show. Okay, then it's still the same owners. I'm going to pitch it to Bernadine now because I know she's got questions. Go ahead, Dean.
I've never been in a castle before. I mean, that is on my bucket list. When we do win the lottery, we may come visit you and do all this stuff. But in a castle, is there electricity, or do they have castles that are still like original and they have all these stairs, you go way up, and then they have the dungeons and things like that? Is that like super mega walking you got to have be fit to do?
not at all. It's been, I suffer from fibromyalgia, so, you know, I'm not the fittest.
Us too.
You know, so if you see me, I'm always sitting down, you know, because I've always got my chair. Now, as for the castles, you've got ruined castles, you know, some of them are very active, and you've got castles that's got some electricity in it. But Scotland's, I think, it's got the most castles in the world.
Yeah. I went, when I was over there, I went into the dungeons at Warwick Castle down in Warwickshire in England. And actually, I couldn't make it 100% into the door because the vibe was just so bad down there. So, Dean, I was able to walk up to the top of one of the towers too, but I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. I could say I did it once, but where in Europe? I mean, I saw you on Facebook. You said, hey, if we're ever interested, if I get over there, like I ever be back and said, I'm hoping to be there sometime next year. So I am going to want to see some of these places now, but in Europe, you know, because the history there that you've got is so old and antique. So how did you, what's the best one in Europe? You mentioned the Castel Bran, which is Vlad's castle down in Romania. And so, I mean, what are some of your favorite haunts from there and some of the things that have happened to you?
Yeah, well, actually, when we were at Bran Castle, we were doing a seance, you know, so around a circle. I'm sitting on, if you can imagine, this tombstone that weighs about 2 tons. It's all stone, you know, and we've got trigger objects around me at the time. And there's a couple of mediums in the group, and they see something black going around the group. So I'm just sitting there. Next minute, all the trigger objects, you know, the little cat balls, they flicker.
Mm-hmm.
They all started getting off. Next minute, I get a pain in my side. So I've stood up straight away. One of the mediums have said, I've seen something black flying into your side. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is, it's what I've always wanted, to be touched by spirit. And, you know, I'm overjoyed. But I then come back, you know, about 4 months later, I'm then suffering from kidney stones. So I don't know if that was a spiritual or it was medical, you know.
Wow.
So maybe the spirit was trying to tell you had kidney stones.
Yeah, sometimes that could be it. Yeah, yeah. And where else have you been? Like in France and Germany, and because I know Germany has that history of, you know, the witch hunts and the, hey, you know, they're really much more than the Inquisition. So have you been there? Have you been doing anything good there?
I've not been to Germany. I plan to go to Germany within the next sort of year or two, because I know there's a few places opening up there. I was meant to go to Venice to investigate. Is it Pog? I'm not going to pronounce this properly. Poggia Island. Yes.
No.
That's number one on my bucket list.
That's going to be her destination there, definitely. I don't know about it. I don't know. I'll be waiting outside. You know, like I said, I can't walk all over
the island.
Vavalia Island, and where I saw it the first time we saw it was on Ghost Adventures, right? And they've been back like a couple of times, but regardless of them, you know, I know it's haunted, it has to be. I mean, it's well known for the people that live around it in Venice and everything, that it's, you know, a place to avoid. Any place like that has got to have you know, basically silted up out of paranormal energy. So but before I ask you about any other places over here that you might be interested in, tell us a little about your book, My Life as a Scottish Paranormal Investigator. Do you have a lot of these cases in your book, or what's the content?
The content is just from my upbringing, you know, in a sort of religious family. First started getting things that were, I was questioning, like, for instance, when my gran died, all the clocks in the house stopped. You know, I was only about 10 at this time. Was brought up in it was a Catholic family, so we didn't really talk about spirits and, you know, things like that. Even to this day, I don't speak about it with my mum. And then just really starting from, you know, from my dad passing, and then really just telling all the experiences I was having from all the investigations, you know, and when I got my haunted museum and all the items I've got, and I tour festivals sometimes with the haunted items, and, you know, just telling some of the experiences I have in my house, you know, with haunted items.
Wow, yeah, because you've got a doll on the cover of it. So, and some kind of little Christmas doll, definitely. Do you ever go like kind of into the UFO stuff? A lot of people do, but some people don't. I mean, how do you feel about that? Because we do. Nick Redfern was just on the show ahead of us, and we always love to have him on. You know, I mean, he's just a wealth of information. But how do you feel about that? Because I know that crop circles are like, they probably started, but they started in Wiltshire in England. But that's probably the first time I heard about it, way back when. So how do you feel about that? What do you think they are? Are they really extraterrestrials or intraterrestrials? I mean, you know, like fairies or whatever you think.
It's quite a hard topic. That it's what I have noticed is wherever there's UFO sightings, or there's paranormal sightings very close by, or vice versa. I've noticed there's a bit of a connection with that. It's something that we're going to be covering in the magazine, the UFO side of things, because, you know, 10 miles from me is the Scotland's hotspot from the UFOs, which is it's called Bonnybridge. You know, there's been a lot of UFO sightings there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dean, come on in.
You said your demonologist speaks Sumerian?
Yeah, in Latin, yeah.
In Latin? Oh. And do you get a lot of EVPs with that language?
Yeah, Ian does sometimes. We do get, because obviously Ian can pick up a lot more and they maybe get like spiritos and, you know, and certain like sort of Latin phrases coming through, depending where we are. It's an old iron fort. It was 2,000 years old. And this would have been the time when we'd have been speaking Latin, and we've got a lot of like Latin coming through as well, which, you know, helps back up. It's like crossover evidence for us.
Wow. Yeah, Sumerian, that's kind of a challenge to master. And it's a pretty specific group of demons, I would think.
Deities.
That would you know, come through in Sumerian. Egyptian would be another one. So that's really interesting. And have you been anywhere where he's like faced a real one of those sorts of demons? Because I always say, you know, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but a lot of people that are on TV will immediately go to it's a demon. Yeah. It's a demon. Yeah. It's like it's the big. Yeah. You know, and then now what is in vogue is to call oneself a demonologist when they have no clue what a demonologist is, does, or what, you know.
So Ian's been studying 10 years. It really annoys me because Ian studied for 10 years. And also what really gets me is something swears on the ITC, automatically it's a demon. I swear sometimes I'm not a demon. You know, every single human that's ever lived has swore at some point in their life. So, you know, it's when they, you know, a lot of investigators have noticed a swear word will come through. Oh, that's demonic, you know. And it's, you know, it's a big hip thing. In 16 years doing this, I've never dealt with anything demonic. I've dealt with negative spirits, but nothing demonic. Do I believe demons are real? Well, yes, I do. But, you know, I don't want to meet one, you know, because it's not like the movies, you know. It can take a lot of times to get rid of it.
That's exactly right. That's why it kind of irks me when they do it. It's because the really bad ones, I like to call it, you know, the hypercosmic demons, the really serious guys that, you know, got in here when God got here, they're very difficult to get in touch with. But I've seen people just throwing around their names and saying, oh, it's this one or it's that one. You know, and it's like, okay, go run around calling the thing. But it takes a lot of hard work to get in touch with that. So I just think it's doing a disservice to people who are just coming in and learning to just say, oh, well, if it's bad, it's a demon. You know, if it's bad, and that's not always the case, obviously.
No. It's high and lower energies, as, you know, as I like to say to people, you get high energy, you get low energy, you know, you get negative, positive. You know, I work with a quite well-known demonologist, Jason Love. We actually, my wife, are a support team on cases that he does in the UK, you know, helping families as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, I mean, because we often kind of default to Ralph Sarchi, who was in, you know, Deliver Us From Evil was about him, but I mean, he's a real in your face, you know, he will definitely tell you that's not a demon at all. So, I mean, we've talked about it for a long time, you know, about how these people just immediately, how do you feel about provoking? That's that kind of preceded the demonologist.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like it. It's not something that I believe in. It's, I'm all about, you know, respect, even if it's negative, you know, I wouldn't provoke that. You know, there's no need for provoking. That's just all for entertainment, provoking. Mm-hmm. I think it's very disrespectful.
Well, until they take down the lights and everything, and then everybody goes home, you know, because I mean, it's almost, I've described it and we've talked about it as like you run into the house of a stranger and start yelling and screaming. That's completely disrespectful. Even if there really was a demon there, I would say, don't disrespect the demon, you know, but you know, they will hang back and just follow, follow the dumb ass home.
I've got a saying, don't open a door that you can't close.
Absolutely. That's right. And that's good in everything, in every area. So I was going to ask you, have you ever been to the U.S.?
I've been to the US and like holidays. I'm going to the US for two, I've got two investigations in June, July. I'm going to what's that lighthouse? The one that's next to Florida.
St. Augustine.
Yes, St. Augustine. Yeah, I'm going there. Uh-huh. And I'm also it's a haunted hotel. I'm going there as well.
Really? What hotel?
I'm not too sure. It's in that sort of area because at the same time, mm-hmm. I'm taking my wife and my son and they're going to do Disney. So they're going to do Disney and I'm going to like do a couple of like ghost hunts. Yeah.
Does your son like Harry Potter? Because they've got Universal down here now.
We've been twice. I always go there every like 2 or 3 years, you know.
Good. Yeah, I was just like a kid again at the Harry Potter thing. I even went on the ride, you know, like even flying around. If you knew me, I don't like that. But so I see you're going to Florida. Are there any other places like that you've heard of in the U.S. that you think would be interesting?
Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to do a Sally House, mm-hmm. and Bobby Mackey's.
Mm-hmm.
Waverly Hills.
Oh, okay. The Whaley? You're talking about Whaley out in San Diego?
Yeah, and Waverly Hills, the San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Waverly Hills. I'm sorry. He's saying hills, Scottish, like, okay, yeah. Waverly Hills, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, there was so many, it's been known for so long. They had had, Kentucky, yeah, and we're supposed to go there. Like, I was thinking we would have a road trip, right? But I mean, we're like, yeah, we're going to do it. But I was thinking the Villisca Axe River House, and then there's the Winchester House in San Diego. I thought you said Whaley. Not in San Diego, Pasadena. And then, the Whaley House I actually went to. And you know what? I wasn't really that impressed. I guess it was because it was daytime. There was a lot of activity going on. But I couldn't really get a feeling about it. I guess they left me there at night. You know, it's right on the street in the middle of San Diego. So it's difficult to kind of, it can be haunted, I'm sure. And it is. But it was just like I wasn't picking up on anything. So. But if you ever go to Waverly Hills, let us know. We might have to pack the car and come. So tell us about, you have another book coming in your magazine that you just launched. So tell us a bunch of stuff about that.
Yeah, well, my second book that I'm in the process of writing at the moment, it's about myths and legends of Scotland. It's going to have a lot of folklore, legends, it's going to be really pretty. It's legends a lot of people don't even, unless you research, you won't know about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Can you tell me a couple of them? I'm the folklorist, I'm the historian, so.
Yep.
And I have some books, but not at my fingertips, of Scottish ghost stories and stuff like that. What are some of the ones that you're going to include?
I'm going to include now, you've got obviously the Banshee, which is Irish, but the Scottish mm-hmm. version is called the Bean Nye.
Uh-huh, okay.
So you've got the Bean Nye, you'll have heard of the Kelpies.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Blue Men of Mun. It's sort of like a way up north of Scotland. It's like a sort of a mermaid,
mm-hmm.
type thing. You've got the Wolver, which is, it's like a Scottish werewolf.
Oh, wow. Do they have the shuck or the black dogs? Do you have those in Scotland? Or I know in England they have all the legends too. Yeah. Oh, good.
The main ones in England, but there is reports of the black hellhound dogs, black shuck, in Ayrshire in Scotland as well.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Glamis Castle?
I've not been to Glamis Castle, but one of my friends has been there and told me it's very good.
Where do you live in Scotland? Like, what city?
I'm from Glasgow.
Oh, so you're in Glasgow area. Okay, so and I just had a complete blank. Oh, we're talking about Glamis Castle. I'm sorry, because there's supposed to be that room there, but I guess is that closer, like in the lower part of Scotland?
I think it's further up north. I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know, like her Majesty's mother was from that family that had Glamis, and so they own it. I'm just looking for someone who maybe, had an experience there. I mean, but you guys are so steeped in legends and hauntings, and it's just amazing, because for a geographic area to be that small, but yet to have so much folklore and, just ghosts and hauntings, it's just amazing, it's just a great, I'd love to move there. I mean, I don't know now with all the stuff going on, but Anyway, let me pitch it to Dean. I'm sorry. I'm just going on at the mouth. Go ahead, Dean.
Do you have like an overhead of clients? Like it's just hard to catch up because you have so much history and hauntings in your area? Or there are a lot of paranormal teams out there?
Actually, in Scotland, there's very, very little paranormal teams. You know, there's not a lot. England, there's hundreds and hundreds of teams, but Scotland, you know, it's quite sparse, you know. And the good thing about that is, you know, I hire a castle out, it's every year, and it's only allowed 8 investigations a year, and so you can imagine how active it is.
Mm-hmm.
When we go up there, we were there, when was it, January time, and it was coming near the end of the session. Now we've got, you know, the ITC on, and we kept on getting Carol Ann called, which is one of the team members. My wife goes, does Carol Ann remind you of someone? And next minute we hear with our own ears, ha, a little kid's laugh. And I'm like, you know, we caught it on the camcorder and on, you know, an EVP, you know, machine as well, recorder, you know, so I was quite stoked to that.
Oh, wow.
Has anything ever followed you home or your wife home?
No. I take sort of protection quite seriously. So before I start an investigation, you know, I always ground myself. And then after it, I've got my own little set of procedures, you know, to make sure nothing follows us home.
Smart guy. Yeah, you're smart that way.
I've got a son, so you've got to be, haven't you? And you've got children.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because you don't want to bring, especially if you have small children and everything, because then they can just get attached and stay there.
Yeah, it's the pure energy. That's what attracts it. Like poltergeist, and it's the pure energy of the children.
Yeah, you don't let children investigate with you.
No.
Because a lot of people do that. Yeah. No, I know that's not a good idea. So, have you been to Greyfriars? It's Greyfriars, the Covenanters. What do you call it? The cemetery.
Yeah.
Is that in Edinburgh?
Yeah, it's in Edinburgh. That's the Mackenzie Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, that's genuine phenomenon. You know, I know a few people that have been scratched from doing, they do like nightly tours, you know, just like a reenactment, you know, they take them around the city, you know, and I know a few people that's actually come out and they've got these scratches on their arm, you know, so that's definitely something.
Some people get locked in there and then they go into where a lot of the Covenanters died. I mean, you know, we could go into this, but it was the Covenanters were who they were, like a religious sect, I think, who got locked in there. I think it was in the 1600s or whatever, and they died rather than do something. I don't know if it was during the Civil War or whatever, but anyway, they're still in there and they're pretty angry. And then you've got that Mackenzie tomb.
He murdered, I think it's some like 10,000 people, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he was a very, very nasty man in life as in death.
Mm. Well, it's good to hear that that's spooky. Have you been in the tunnels under Edinburgh?
I have been in the tunnels under Edinburgh. The only disappointing thing about that is they've got nightclubs next to it. So,
New Orleans, the noise. Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, it's like trying to do something in the French Quarter because all you're hearing is Dixieland jazz and all this other stuff. But that's kind of, I kind of figured that because it was becoming so popular with everything. You would just hear the tunnels and everything. So, but I definitely, I can just keep sitting here thinking, have you been? Because I want to know, if they're really haunted. But I would say, like, the Monk's House, which was done, actually. Have you been there?
Yeah, I've done a little Facebook Live there. It's on YouTube as well. And we got the little cat balls, you know. Now, they were going off on command here. Now, I even, in my Facebook Live, now I'm a big guy. I go up and I'm jumping up next to it and it's not getting off. Physically had to be touched, you know, we've got all the lights out, you know, and they're getting off, and we got on the sort of, I think it was Equivox I was using, and we got, what was it, Pritchard pulled her by the hair, Black Monk a few times, and it was attacking me because, you know, I come from sort of like, you know, like Knights Templar sort of like family background, you know, and it did not like me in there.
Wow.
I actually had an experience about a week after or 2 weeks after it. And it's actually, this is probably one of the few times I've been scared. Now, I've got a beheading sword from its Tibetan. I've got that in loan at the moment. And it's got a lot of bad energy and it gives nightmares.
Wait, you've got a what? A beheaded? Wait, what? Back up.
Oh, a beheading sword.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I thought that's what you said. And I was like, well, you've got
a beheading sword.
I got, yes, that cut off heads. And okay. What do you have that for, David?
And it was causing a lot of nightmares, whoever people had it. Now, I had quite a specific dream. I had a dream, and I was back at 30 East Drive, and the monk sort of pulled me in, and it said it was going to find me and tear my family apart if I ever go back to East Drive. You know, that kind of shook me up a bit. You know, I stopped sort of working with spirit for about a week, and, you know, I called on a few friends to do a couple of, you know, like prayers and stuff like that. You know, was it a dream? Could possibly, but, you know, I don't like to sort of, you know, mess with these type of things, because, as you know, spirits are one of the easiest ways to affect you is through dreams.
Yes. Yeah. Especially,
but there's something there. There's definitely something there.
There's God, there's so many. I mean, there's so many places, and you know, they say that that's the most haunted house in Britain. Is it?
Yeah.
In your opinion?
I think so. Yeah. I could safely say that. Yeah.
And so, in case people don't know, what is the history of the place?
The history of the place, it dates back to I'm not too sure like exactly when, but the story is there was a monk there, and I think he was. He murdered, and I think it was murdered and raped, something along that lines, one of the children there, and he got found out, and obviously the church, you know, apparently they hung him, killed him, whatever, and ever since it's in that area where the house is,
you know,
and he's, and the thing is, he's been a poltergeist. Now, I've always been sort of told with poltergeists, you know, you can't actually remove a poltergeist. You know, you can remove a spirit, but you can't remove a poltergeist, because it's a different type of energy. That, you know, that this is only like going from my teaching, and that's why, you know, it's never been actually removed. Now, people have tried to remove it; they've never succeeded.
He's not. Yeah, it's not going anywhere. Yeah, I brought it up, and it's in Pontefract, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, isn't that just some history? I mean, that we people often, they want to come to New Orleans, and, you know, they ask, is it haunted? And, you know, we're 300 years old this year. So, and we're comparatively, the area that where it started is the French Quarter, and it's really very small, but there's layer on layer, you know, of 300 years worth of history. But because we were like, we had, you know, cholera, we had yellow fever and all these other stuff. Plagues. I mean, it's like they can barely do construction and not turn up some kind of a burial, you know, like not like adjacent to an area that was once used for mass burial, or, you know, and every time that happens, of course, everything stops. The archaeologist, the Tulane, has to come out and look at everything. Yeah. But, you know, I rather imagine that in a bigger way, that's kind of what you are. I mean, it's kind of what Britain is, because there's just so much history that went on. I mean, Pontefract Castle, when it comes to mind, I kind of
It was a lot of battles.
Richard II. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know.
If you think about all the wars and all the torment and, you know, the amount of people that were mass killed, and, you know, it's year after
that
year,
was my next
after
question
century, you know, it's
battlegrounds.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, yeah, battlegrounds. I mean, and it was all like, what is it, Barnet and Toton, and you've got Sterling up by you. Tell us about that. Have you been? A lot of people over here go to Gettysburg, and they'll go to other Civil War battlegrounds, and you know, Gettysburg is just like just packed with activity. Have you done that, some of the burial grounds in your area? I'm sorry, some of the battlegrounds over there in your area?
Yeah, I mean, some of my favorite castles, you know, if you can imagine, with Scotland and England being at war, you know, for hundreds of years, you know, a lot of the castles were took over by the English, and then retook by the Scottish, and then back to the English. You can imagine all the bloodshed, and, you know, all that history. It's all the energy stored in the stonework. You know, limestone holds energy. It's all within the building.
Yeah, it's like, Dean, like when I went over there, and I didn't go all over the place, but the antiquity is just, it's like right in your face. It's so old.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in Europe, you know, it's another. It's just like, it's so old. It's magical. It's weird. You know, it's like you don't really have to look to walk into like another world, basically. But, you know, and I mean, other people may say, I don't care, you know, but I love I just love the UK and I love the British Isles. And, you know, there's just so much history in that little bitty area, you know. So, but Dean, go ahead. I know you have a couple of questions.
To switch a little bit around, I'd like to know, how do you get your items for your haunted museum?
My items from the Haunted Museum is, I generally get them from other collectors. Like, for instance, I've got a few items that I've got off of Jason Love from, like, previous, you know, like, house cleanses that he's done over the years. Or one of my most active dolls I got from Jane Harris. I don't know if you know Jane from the UK.
No.
That sounds familiar, Jane.
She's Peggy the doll that Zach Scott was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, Peggy the doll. You know what, Dean, you might not know the name, but.
Yeah, I've got a couple of her items. So generally collectors, you know, that I get. I would never buy anything off of eBay because it's, you know, it's a lot of people are putting things up and it's, don't buy off eBay. Get off of collectors.
Don't buy and don't steal.
Well, we won't buy those anyway.
Yeah.
Do you have to have a special, like, I know you have a special museum, but do you have, like, special cases for certain items that people shouldn't come in contact with?
No. It's none of the items that I actually got, none of them are negative, you know, because I actually keep them in my house, so I wouldn't have anything negative. I have got storage, you know, if I did have anything negative, I would keep it in there. But generally, you know, few of my most active dolls, you know, that I've got, you know, that's not bad spirits.
So, because it's in your house, it's not like the Warren's Museum.
No. I mean, I have, like I say, when I tell people I keep the items in the house, like, oh my God, it must be activity 24/7. I'm like, well, I get a bit of activity about once a month, you know, certain things will happen. It's not ongoing, you know, because I've all, you know, I speak out loud to the items, you know, and I tell them, treat the house as your own, you know, so they don't feel the need to move things about, you know, it's the coexist in the house.
Do you guys have things like the Dybbuk box?
Yeah, we do have a Dybbuk box. Yeah, we've got like a beheading sword. I've got quite a few dolls. I've stopped getting dolls now enough because it's sometimes I'm doing lives with dolls. It's, you know, focusing. It's just a guy playing me a doll.
Yeah.
Musical
well, voodoo.
Boxes.
There's some voodoo dolls and stuff.
Yeah.
That you could get hold of.
Well, one of the dolls that I've got that's on the picture is the Abaddon doll. It's I actually got that from a devil worship group that had it for about 15 years, and it was used to summon sort of dark energy through, and that's why it's got the eyes closed, you know, so that it shuts off, you know, no spirit knows where it is. I always keep that blindfold on. It's very active.
That's called the Abaddon doll.
Abaddon, yeah, and I've got that said quite a few times, like on like Facebook Lives, Abaddon.
Mm, yeah, because Abaddon is nothing less than the angel in the pit, right? The angel of Revelation.
It's weird. It's not negative. As I say, it's called Abaddon doll, but it isn't actually a negative spirit that's attached to it.
Mm, just a busy little thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you have to keep it from interacting. Yeah,
that's pretty... little live wire.
So you recently launched the magazine, I saw. So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, the magazine's actually, it's five of us have all done it together. It's myself and Ian, it's Ryan and Greg, Ryan from Haunted Scotland and Greg from Fife Paranormal Research Society, and Barry, who's from Haunted England. We've all teamed up to do a magazine because we want to cover like the full selection of everything paranormal. We also want to focus in, you know, like lesser known teams and get them sort of on the magazine interviews, you know, because there's a lot of local talent, you know, that sometimes gets missed. You know, so it's trying to get, you know, get them more sort of like sort of on the map as such.
Is it a published magazine or is it online or is it both?
It's going to be online, and the website's is presently getting built at the moment. It's going to be once a month online. It's going to be free. Maybe in a couple of years' time, we might do some paperback in that, you know, but it's just a case of building it up. It's like everything else, you know, Rome, you know, wasn't built in a day, as they say.
Yeah. Well, I might have some things that I could contribute to that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'll talk to you about it later.
Yeah,
because we have some good investigations that we had over here that might be interesting to you and to people.
Oh, yeah, we've got guests. We're going to have guests, sort of like guest writers on to do articles, you know, and if anyone wants to send stuff in, you know, we'll put it on the magazine. It's going to be pretty cool, you know, once it comes all out.
That's so cool. Now, Dean, you go ahead. I want to ask him another question later, though. So go ahead if you got anything.
Since you have the haunted things in your house, whenever you use your devices, well, do you use your devices in your own home?
I do, yeah. And yeah.
Do they pick up activity?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every Sunday night, about sort of 9 o'clock UK time, which I think for you it's maybe about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. You know, I'll do the Facebook Live, and it's all intelligent questions that I ask. For instance, I'll hold up a tea bag. You know, I'll just say, "Can the spirits tell me what this is?" I'll say it or won't say it. You know, a hat, coffee. You know, my wife collects, you know, that little sort of fridge magnets. So I'll take them off. "Can you tell me what type of animal this is? And, you know, what does the writing say?" It's all that kind of base, because, you know what, ending it's watching that, it's alive. And as you know what ITC is like, you know, a debunker can't debunk it, because how can you debunk when it's saying something intelligent? Like, what card am I holding? And it says the king, and it turns out it's the king or the joker. Yeah.
We're going to have to watch that Facebook Live.
Yeah,
it's Sunday. Is it on your David Barr page, or is it on your team page?
It's on the team page, Project Paranormal.
Okay.
I do one every week, so there's all ones there stored. Some of them are really good. I've actually done a couple of experiments from there that's one of a kind. We were one of the first people. I think we're the only people that's actually done it. We've done spirit travel experiment. Mm-hmm. I've actually sent spirit to one of the people that are watching's home, and I've asked them what they're holding in their hand. You know, and I tell them, I want you psychically put out your town name, you know, like Liverpool, yeah. I will send the spirits that follow me around to go to their house, and they come back, and they tell me on the ITC what they're holding in their hand. Wow. And do you know what the reason why they can do that is? Because time is man-made. There is no such thing as time in the spirit world. It's man-made. Mm-hmm. Spirits can go wherever they want, you know.
Man-made and linear. We're stuck in the, you know, past, present, future, when...
Yeah.
I am no scientist, believe me, but according to what they say, it's like it's all sort of flux, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people believe that when these, you know, these fluctuations happen, it's when we have activity, especially if it's like, you know, like extreme activity or you know, intelligent interaction, you know. So, but go on. I'm sorry, Dean. Go on.
Well, maybe that's what remote viewing may be. The spirits, you know, giving the answer to the person asking the question.
Across
the world, like, what are they holding in their hand, and the spirit puts it in their mind as a psychic to give them the answer.
Yeah,
it could be, or they could actually go and see, which is even, you know, better. So
be their eyes.
Be their eyes where they can't be. That's right, you know, which is, you know, I don't know how people can see some stuff like that happen and then not, you know, not believe that something's going on, because you were a skeptic at one time, and now, you know, you're all in, proving a lot of the things that you thought wrong, you know. So but that was kind of where I was going to ask you, and that's my dog in the background, if you hear her. You know, we've been talking, Dean and I, with most of our guests about where is this, you know, all going, like paranormal research, where is it all going? Everybody's been, you know, they're kind of like really jealous of their you know, their evidence. They won't share it. They can't agree that, you know, that let's have a group of people that we can elect, or, you know, whatever, that we can appoint that can look at it and say yay or nay. You know, and then under that is everybody wants a TV show, but, you know, it's really peaked. So, you know, I've been saying it's all pretty much plateaued, but how do you feel about that? You know, it's, where are we now? And do you think we could ever get to that point where, you know, people would actually take the opinion of someone else? I mean,
I think it's progressing quite well, because I work just in ITC, and generally it's not like it's apps that I'll use. Now, I've had questions answered, like, spirit people, you know, I was like, "Can you tell me what is a spirit person?" And it's, I've got back, "Earthbound, didn't cross over to the light," you know, I've had things like that. Because I know a lot of people, the TV shows, a spirit person's negative. And it's not necessarily, it can be positive or negative. You know, the one spirit I've seen was a spirit person, and it was trying to get away from me, you know.
Mm. Well, that's, hang on one second. Go on, Dean. I'm putting my dog out, David. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Live radio. She doesn't bark in the background. No, what we've been, that's pretty much what we've been talking about. It's like, you know, the British Society for Psychical Research,
yeah,
which obviously, you know, is still in existence. And so is the American Society. And we just find it that, you know, the people that are famous have all this evidence, quote unquote, that is really, you know, most of it not valid, you know, just fakery. Then yeah, there are the valid, but then you have the people that I'm sure you see in arguing on Facebook, like, you know, like I say it's a face. No, you say, you know, and it's like, so we're at this plateau of like, okay, so where does everybody go from here? You know, it's if you're really in it for science and for something lasting, you would, you know what I mean? It's like, so
what Eileen's trying to say is like, I'm a paranormal investigator. I have a team. I don't put my evidence on Facebook or on any social media besides my website where it's safe, because people, you know, or other investigators or just people in general, you know, how they can be hateful. You know, they will mostly either call your legit evidence fake, because they didn't capture it themselves, or they'll steal it, add things to it, then, you know, like edit your photographs so you can't use it anymore.
Yeah.
Now it is fake. So that's why we don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, the paranormal field, it's, what I say is I fly under the radar of all the bullshit, you know. Sorry for swearing, but I just fly under.
Sorry.
All my stuff is out on YouTube, on my Facebook page. I'm totally open. But I've also got another thing, and everybody that knows me will know this. If anybody had ever to say somehow I'd ever faked, I will take a lie detector test, and when I pass it, you pay for my lie detector test.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's so nobody's ever challenged me, you know, because I'll take it. I've been so with anyone in the team.
There are a lot of people, every now and then you'll hear, you know, somebody come up with paranormal unity, and there is no such thing, okay? There isn't. Not when somebody like Jason Hawes is being paid $62,000 an episode, for going around and, you know, making up stuff. I mean, so everybody, it's just, you know, Hans Holzer, the Warrens, people feel differently about them, but, you know, Barry Taff, Brad Steiger, these people are recognized as benchmarks. In other words, as valid, researchers, that their opinion carries weight because of whatever reason. So where are the ones now? Because there aren't any. I mean, there's all kind of whatever, but there aren't any real people that are distinguishing themselves, because nobody will share, and nobody's ego can take somebody else saying that's, I don't think that's right, or I don't think that's what you're seeing, you know. I mean, where are they?
See, I mean, there used to be a big science, you know, the science was all being ready, the paranormal in the 80s, and then it's just all drifted out. You know, there's not a lot of scientists left in it, because it's a lot of the TV shows getting took over. Now, even when I put out like an episode once a year, now I put it out on the Sky, but I pay for it to go on the Sky, I edit it. You understand? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't take a TV deal, because, you know, they're all under pressure to fake evidence. You know, we can watch TV shows and we know ourselves, you know.
Yeah. So, most of us.
Yeah.
Most
I'm saying no names.
Well, you know, I did say a name at the beginning, because this is, you know, there's this woman who was like, believes everything is real, you know, that Zach Bagans is 100% and all this other stuff. And I'm like, it's just, you know, and anywhere that it was going to go before this popularity, I mean, scientifically or toward validity, has been tainted and set back by all of the BS and all of the entertainment sparkle, you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you know, Dean's been asked to do a show. We've been asked to do a show. Yeah. They've had me on shows. They want to do this show. And it's all about, well, the last one was somebody asking me if I knew voodoo and I knew how to cast out spirits. I'm like, no. I know both. I don't cast out, but I do know voodoo. No, thank you. Because what that means is TV stuff. And, you know, and I told them who to go to for it. And that it was for evidently paranormal lockdown. And they found a woman in New Orleans that that said, yeah, it's both questions, you know. It's no skin off my nose, you know.
I am a writer.
I'm going to continue to write. I write fiction and nonfiction. Yeah. Most of it's ghost stories, and a lot of it is about my life experiences. But at this point, I see a lot of people like you have put in years of hard work. And what is it going to be? You know, I mean, the thing is like at some point it seems to me that they're going to have to shake out, you know, the chaff, and then we have people left that might have some of the
loot. Yeah. See, the problem is, for instance, you've got these people, you know, on YouTube, you know, and they're faking it, they're running about, you know, five demons just attacked me and I've caught myself here, you know, and they're so popular, you know, you've got 100,000 people watching them. And, you know, guys like myself, you know, that just does the ITC and gets intelligent catches, but if we get a swear word, you know, we don't pull any faces, like, oh, I'm really scared, you know. That's not entertaining enough, you know. But what I do paranormal, if I can open up one person's eye a week, then I'm doing a good thing, you know. So I want to be the shining light for, you know, for that side of things. Opening eyes up, you know, I can't open everyone's eyes up. Some people are just adamant that this guy got attacked by 10 demons and all this stuff, you know. I can't fix craziness, as I say.
Yeah, you can't. And you can't fix mean either, because some of these people are just really so mean. And when you think about, like, what you're telling me, you know, you have such a, you have a standard of operations, you know, you have checks and balances that, you know, you come out because of your scientific background. Obviously, it comes out as science, but it would be terrible for someone like you and, you know, maybe 100 other people like you that are really devoted to just, you know, to just do that. I mean, I know that makes you happy if you help someone or if you prove what you've experienced for true. But I mean, you know, at some point, everybody's going to move on. And like all of these people did all of this work, the really valid work, and they're just going to be forgotten. And that's just, you know.
There's plenty of people that don't film their stuff, and I know they do such good stuff, you know, but they don't want to put themselves out there. I put myself out there to be shot down, you know. Nobody's done it so far, just because of the way I work. But, you know, but some people, you know, are just scared because you get these haters coming in, and we all know what the paranormal field's like, you know. I mean, I've got some great friends, you know, like Greg, Ryan, Ian, Barry. I mean, really close with you guys, and you know, and they're genuine investigators like myself, you know. But my circle's small, you know.
Uh-huh.
Right. It's got to be that way.
Yeah, ours too. That's exactly right. I'm too old for that BS, you know. And then I kind of see it peripherally, and I'm like, oh my god, you know. It's just, and people are, you know, cutting each other out of. A friend of ours who had a good convention. She. You know, she got it stolen right out from the location, under her, and it's terrible. And I'm sure that goes on in your neck of the woods.
It does. It's no different. Do you know one thing that I really hate, and this really boils my blood? It's like, for instance, Professor Hawkins died a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting radio box, you know, like an actual radio. His name's going to be in the news all the time, broadcasting the radio channel. It's so disrespectful. You know,
Is it Steve Huff?
No, it wasn't Steve Huff this time. I'm not going to say who it was, but it really, really angered me at the time.
But whenever anybody says something like that, it's like, oh, it's that Steve Huff guy, because he's like immediately on the dead people. You know? It's like, I got to get in touch with him right now, you know? That's terrible. I mean, the man's
disrespecting the dead because they just died.
Yeah. They just died. Literally just died, you know, and hasn't even been, maybe he's been buried, I don't know. Yeah. I think
he's got children as well.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be a little preoccupied with dealing with the fact that, you know, all the stuff that he didn't believe in is actually real, you know.
But
we lost seriously, we lost a great mind, you know, with his death. And he, whatever his beliefs were, he was one of the people who was like there to be able to put on the brakes of things like CERN, these ridiculous, you know, the transhumanism, you know, and the AI and stuff like that. You know, he really was saying, you know, you're playing with fire. You're playing with, you know, you're trying to do the God particle, and you're going to end up with the demons basically getting in here. If that, it's, that's another one of my things. It's like those people at CERN, you know, it's like the sky is falling. But seriously, I mean, you know, they need, we need some voices of, you know, to temper the ridiculousness of all of the stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, Dean, go ahead.
I'm letting the dogs in. We do. I know my team. I mean, even though we don't put our things on Facebook and stuff, we do what we do out of the kindness of our heart for free, you know, to help people because they're afraid. And what we do is give them proof of what they already have or don't have, you know. So we either approve or disprove what they're afraid of. Try to help them out that way. And I do keep my circle small. Now I do work with people from all over, you know, if they have a client here that I can help, then I do that. If I can't do it, I find someone, a reputable team that can, and vice versa. You know, if I have somebody that contacts me from a different state and I can't get there, well, I have teams, you know, I look up that are reputable that can help me out. That's what I call paranormal unity. When you help each other out and don't even know each other personally, but you know, you can find out if a team's reputable or not just by Facebook or looking up on Google. So when you have, you know, these certain people that you can fall back on, it does help, because one team cannot be in every place at the same time, because we have an outpour of clients. Now, I don't take every client. I don't know about you, but they have to, you know, we kind of have to weed them out. You know, well, ask certain questions. You have to have an interview before you even make a decision on an investigation. But a lot of these teams just jump right in.
And yeah, I think that's psychologist first. Yeah, you gotta be a psychologist first. You know, watch for the warning signs. You know, ask certain questions, and if we're getting this back, then you know, I can roughly say that that's, you know, that's not the case. You know, but it's all, you know, it's, you're right what you're saying. You've got to ask certain questions to get to the genuine cases.
Yeah, and some you can wrap it up over the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just some are scared, discussion. You know. They just need a little reassurance that everything's fine.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you, like Dean, will hear something on your EVP or something like that, you know, that you want to call somebody about, you know. And I'm talking, she had a case that was truly demonic oppression, demonic possession. And you can tell him about it, but, you know, we've talked about it. We don't give the name of the person. You know, she called me. And for Dean to do, she ran outside of her house. I mean, I know you're not ashamed to say it. It's like, oh, hell no. So, yeah, why don't you tell him a little bit about that, and we'll see if he said anything like that.
Yeah, the guy had, he was on medication for schizophrenia, and he really wanted to know if, because he had all these problems for like 15 years, since he was 15 years old, and now he was 30. So he actually wanted to know if he was demonically possessed or if he was actually schizophrenic. He didn't really know.
Because
he was on medication, but a doctor cannot diagnose, you know, demonic possession. So he really didn't want to have to take medication if he was demonically possessed. So anyway, I told him, you know, if somebody tells me something like that, I'll give them an hour or so of my time, but I'm not bringing all of my gear and my team and set up, you know, all this stuff just in case we have to like haul ass and get out. So we actually did EVP with him, and he started acting kind of strange or whatever. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll let you know and blah, blah, blah. Let's go by. So we get home, and I don't know why, but I didn't pick up that EVP recorder for 2 weeks because it kind of bugged me. Because he called me on the phone, and I'd hear screaming and stuff in the background. I'm like, you need to turn your TV down. I can't hear what you're saying. He's like, my TV's not on.
Yeah.
There's nothing on. So I'm like, holy crap. Well, I go and I listen to the EVP and actually hear, you know, him say, I don't remember what it was, but
you would ask him a question, and then you would hear in the intervening, David, she would hear the demon's voice, and then he would repeat what the demon said.
Right, and he didn't say the demon said, but I heard what the demon said before he told me that
on the EVP, but it wasn't when she was sitting there, you know. And I mean, this poor man, and I know since he was 15, but he was involved in ceremonial magic and ritual, demonic conjuring. And he did it to impress a girl.
Right.
Seriously. And now he is plagued. And, you know, from what Dean has told me, I know it's seriously, whatever they were working with, it's still with him.
Once you're marked, that's your mark for life.
And Dean, I mean, you can go on and describe. I mean, the things.
Yeah, I've never gave him the evidence because, I'm afraid that he would try to commit suicide, which is what the demon would want him to do.
Yeah. Right.
So I've never gave him that. I told him, no, I didn't have anything because, I mean, that would be on my hands.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
And down here, I don't know about where you are, but down here, the priest and they don't go to people's homes anymore and do exorcisms and things like that unless the church actually, says, go ahead, do it, which is rare down here. So the only person down here that actually does blessings for people, he's elderly and he don't go into homes anymore. So they wanted me to take this guy to meet them at the church. I'm like, no. I'm not putting him in my vehicle.
She ran out of the house, she called me and I told her, and she said, "Go, I'm gonna send it to you." And it took me about a year before. I mean, 100% because of the way Bernadine was acting, I was like, "I thoroughly believe you." But as it's going on, and she has gone back to try and help the guy. When we had, we were talking to Ralph actually about it, Sarge, and he wouldn't open the door. I mean, he opened it just like a crack. So
he doesn't want help and you can't help him,
because he's scared to death of these things. They beat him up, they rape him, they, torment him and abuse him. And if he tries to get help, they threaten to kill people in his family. And that is a serious, serious result of magic case.
There is my belief is, demonic activity, there is in certain cases that you cannot defeat, it's that strong.
Right.
And you have to walk away because otherwise your sanity, your family, and your life is going to be, oh, my dog is chewing a ball now.
I'm sorry. It'll go after what you love because you're trying to help what they're trying to get.
I mean I've dealt with negative spirits, nothing demonic in that, which I'm thankful for, but I'm a firm belief, the demonic, which I do believe in, they know who all the investigators are.
They came to me in my dream. And threw me up against the wall in my dream. And I woke up and remembered that. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm out of there. Because, I don't do demons, if somebody tells me they're having these problems, especially after that happened years ago, I refer them to somebody else, that does deal with that to come in and try to help them,
But as we were talking in the beginning, the demonologist thing, everybody now is suddenly a demonologist and the definition of demonologist is someone who studies demons, period. Yeah. That's it.
Speaks Latin as well.
But the bare bones is somebody who studies demons. Yeah. It doesn't say go in and cleanse. No.
Different.
He's a spiritual teacher as well. So, he does that as well. He's a very knowledgeable guy.
You can ask Ian, the working term, but he is a lot more than just a demonologist.
Yeah. You can ask Ian any question and he'll give you the answer, straight away. He's like an encyclopedia.
Yeah. And that's good. And it's good to have someone like that around. Yeah. But, you've got people that are like 20 years old calling themselves demonologists. Other people out there, giving them, taking money for classes and stuff and giving them some kind of paper and saying they're demonologists. You know, I don't know how it is over there, that's it's what goes on over here. You know, it's like, you know, a 20, 19-year-old person going in there and confronting something, you know, that...
They'll tear them apart. Some, even an egg spirit would drop them apart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, and I, you know, I call myself an occultist. I, you know, I've had my life was a life of demonic hauntings because of bad occult experimentation. My mother, you know, kind of basically didn't know what she was into, and that's how it started. So I, you know, but I, and I could call myself a demonologist by saying I studied the demons because I want to know, I wanted to know what the heck happened. You know, my mom, it's part of what put my mother in the grave. So I wanted to understand it, but I will not, you know, go to somebody's house like Ian would and be able to sustain that, to, you know, kick them out, get them out, or draw them out of the body. You know, I don't, and I won't make any bones about it. I'm not that person. I can tell you all about them, everything you need to know, but, you know.
I'm the same. It's like, I mean, I'm very strong-willed, you know, I'm scared of absolutely nothing. But, you know, my weakness is my son. So if I ever came across the money, it wouldn't go for me. I would target my son.
For him. That's
and that's what scares me. That's so I'm actually, although I'm strong, I'm weak. And that's why I would step back from something like that.
You're not weak at all.
No, you
not.
Know yourself with negative, you know, they'll target the weakest chain.
Well, your ego is completely out of it. A lot of it, and obviously I'm not talking about Ian, but a lot of these people, their ego is just fooling them, and And then sometimes you come across people who want to do evil to you for no apparent reason, or just, you know, whatever. And I've had that happen where, you know, someone has sent something and used my daughter, attacked my daughter. You know, and I did kick that out because it was like, oh, bullshit. I was like, oh, no, you don't. And you know, and I'm a firm believer. And I don't know. Let me ask you how you feel about this as well. The Roman Catholic ritual, the name of Jesus and the power and authority of Christ. That's basically, to me, that's it. Everybody asks, well, why does that work? And it's like, because it's Christ. Okay. It's Christ. It's not, you know, it's not Yahweh and it's not Allah and it's not the Hindus, whatever. When Christ gets involved, they have to listen. So
it's like when I do my Facebook lives, I never ever get anything negative because I've got items that are blessed by the Pope. I've got Tibetan prayer wheel, you know. I've got crucifix, St. Benedict medals. I've got my own protection. I've got my own guides. Nothing negative is allowed in the house. And I've done probably about 100 Facebook lives, and I've never had as much as a swear word. Because no negative spirit is allowed in.
Excellent, right? And that's awesome. Basically when you're a mom or a dad, and you look at your kid, and you know your child is being basically attacked by something unseen, and you know. Basically the origin of it. It's like there was, and I talk about it in the book that I wrote. It's like, you know, she was literally attacked by a fetch, basically, that was sent. It scared her out of her bedroom. It was building, it was several different things, but when it got down to that, and she was just petrified. I said, no. I went and stood in that doorway, and I could see the thing. I could see it crouching behind her bed because she had her bed like catty corner. And so behind the bed, there was a spirit that was dark, or this thing that was darker than everything. And all her lights, the electricity in her room was out. I pointed out and I said, you will get out of here. I said, you are gone right now. And I just began to tell him, you know, Jesus Christ is here and I'm coming in this room and you're getting out of here, basically. And basically I sent it back to who sent it, because that's what, you know, that's the right thing to do. People can laugh all they want, you know, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, and I also tell people, it's like, I'm not a Catholic. And I says, it's got nothing to do with religion. I says, it's to do with your will, you know, if you take Christ in. I mean, I come from like a Catholic background. Like, my dad was an atheist, you know, it's all Catholic protection that I do. And I've gave it to, like, Wiccans, you know, pagans, and it's worked for them because... It's like it's a bit like the white light, you know, meditation. You're giving power to yourself, you know. You're releasing it. You believe in it, you know, that's what that is. It's the belief.
Yeah, it is a belief, and it's the efficacy of it. In other words, it seems to work. You know, that's basically it. Now, you know, I don't know why, or I do know why, but people say, well, it's the thing that works, you know. And it's funny because people will call Wiccans or other practitioners of magic, or, you know, there are certain sorts of situations where those people can help because there's just something that went on, you know, with sort of their magic or whatever, something went awry. But by and large, if you're going to go face down a demon,
Catholic.
Yeah, it's good. Well, the ritual, and it works for everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter what faith they were. And then the ineffable power of Christ, that's it, you know. Yeah. They cannot be in the same place with him. So, you know, and people don't accept that. And they end up for years, you know, trying to find a way to get rid of it and everything.
Calling on like 60 of the saints as well, you know, calling on the saints. You've got all sort of written in a bit of paper, and you know, you can throw a little exorcism, call on Saint, you know, Michael's, you know, it's Uriel, you know, Saint Benedict's.
Yep. Saint Benedict, you know, Michael, all in our arts, you know, the archangels and everything. I mean,
you're asking them to come in,
I'm a proud Catholic, you know, but I'm a traditionalist Catholic, you know, which goes back to, you know, like even I call myself sometimes a medieval Catholic, but I know, you know, and so that's what I try to teach, you know. It's like you don't have to be afraid. Like Dean said, you know, there are things going on in the house, and sometimes, like, right, Dean, like if they just talk to somebody, it helps them, you know, if they're able to share it. Have you had that happen, David? Like, where basically, you know, they feel much better. You know, there's something going on. Yeah. They feel much better just talking with you.
Yeah, we get activity maybe about once a month, and we'll maybe be downstairs and we'll hear like rings getting dropped upstairs, and there's nobody upstairs. Mm-hmm. Or one time, it was only about 2 months ago. Now I'm downstairs because I'm a night owl, you know, and Cam's, she's up in the bedroom, and I'm trying to get to sleep. Now, sometimes I can hallucinate in my sleep, and I heard David, right? So I just thought it was me sleep dreaming. I said to Karen the next morning, she says, I heard that. I was like, really?
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, I wasn't dreaming then. Karen's a little bit sensitive, you know, because she's been touched by spirit and she's heard spirit. Now, one of my dolls has got two spirits attached to it, and she always says he's coming because she's scared of the other male spirit. And Karen felt, you know, blow on her face, he's coming, you know, and Karen came down and said to me, and I says, yeah, that's what Lizzie, that's the name of the doll, that's what Lizzie says in all the Facebook lives, he's coming, you know.
Wow.
So stuff like that.
And that's you're on YouTube too, right?
All my stuff's on YouTube. Yeah, Supernatural UK, I've got loads of stuff.
It's, I do little documentaries as well. What's the name of it again, Dave?
Supernatural UK. I changed it. Project Paranormal.
Paranormal. I was going to say, now wait, that's
it. Yeah. I changed it. Project Paranormal, When the Dead Speak.
Yeah.
You know, I've got documentaries and all that, and like, you can see Scottish Castle. You know, I do little roadshows where I tell you the bit of the history.
That's just going to make me want to come over there more.
You're more than welcome. Just let me know when you're coming over, and I'll
I'm trying, you know. And I want to go to places that, well, you know, I'll be going back, but my daughter will be coming, a friend of mine. I want to see London, obviously, and all, but I want to go to places that are basically, I hate to say it, but safer, and that I know that are off the beaten track, you know, because I know things are just a total upheaval over there with the Muslims, money, frankly, you know, the things that they're doing and everything. So and it's unfortunate, but we're saving and we're trying to plan it. So I definitely will be in touch with you.
Oh, definitely. Just if you have a call, just let me know.
Yeah. But so we're going to wrap up here pretty soon. But so what else is in the future for you? I mean, you're going to continue your work, and where do you see yourself in a couple of years?
I see myself exactly where I'm doing. Now, what I can see me doing, I like to do some one-of-a-kind experiments. Like, for instance, I do one where I've got, like, a strobe light, and I've got a Tesla coil, you know, going off. The Tesla coil's going off, and the strobe light's going, and you have to stare into it. I mean, my theory is, you know, spirits are just out of our spectrum, and the strobe light will slow everything down. Possibility, you know, chance of maybe catching spirit the side of your eyes. Mm-hmm. I like trying out different things, you know, liquid,
That's good. Yeah. I mean, building new equipment that's valid and not, you know, Ace Hardware on the corner, you know, or Home Depot or whatever. But that would be great too. And if you're contributing in that way, you know, I seriously hope someone like you, that we would be able to find some way for your work to be recognized, you know, and that's kind of what we've been about this year. And we're thinking of talking just to different people about how it could be done and all. So, yeah. But before we go, if anyone needs to get in touch with you or wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
If anyone wants to get in touch with me, I'm on the Facebook page, Project Paranormal, When the Dead Speak, or you can catch me on the, oh, I've just forgot the name of the magazine now.
The Unexplained.
The Unexplained, yes. I couldn't explain it there. That's what it was. I couldn't explain it. The Unexplained magazine, yeah. I'm on that, you know. But I'm always answering some questions. So if anybody wants to, you know, I'm always open to chatting paranormal. I'm 24/7, as they say.
Great. And yeah, and I want to thank you because I know what time it is over there for staying up. At least it's a Friday night, but for staying up and
yeah,
talking.
Yeah, no worries. Oh, I love chatting paranormal. So I really enjoyed chatting with you.
I'm going to come over there and I'm going to have a beer. Oh, wait, I think that's an Irish accent. I guarantee you 5 days with you and I'll be talking just like you because I went over there like 10 days and I was talking just like, well, we're in England. I was talking with the whole accent. You know, I spent your 10 years. I knew I would walk in like this was a while ago, several years, and I had just gotten used to it to know what to ask. I said, I want a Coke and I want a glass of ice. they would give me this lukewarm Coke in a glass. But I was like, in some days I wanted two, you know, like two Cokes and a glass of ice. And I was just mastering all of that and my voice and everything when we went back home, you know. So I was like, it takes about that long before you start blending in and responding, you know. So, but it's been great talking to you. Really, really excited.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. And keep in contact. So, no doubt I'll speak to you on Facebook at some point. Keep up the good work.
Definitely. You too. Very definitely. Too. And hopefully we can meet up. Either when you come our way or I will come over there. So
yeah, definitely. Sounds a plan for the future.
I would love to. I would definitely like to see Glasgow and I'd like to meet up with you and you know, check out some of the spots and everything.
If you ever come over, I'll get an investigation on for us.
That would be great. Wouldn't that be great, Dean?
Yes.
It would be in my favorite place on earth. Yeah. So
some Scottish hospitality is brilliant.
No haggis, though, okay?
No haggis.
I'll drink the whiskey, but no haggis.
yeah, we can do that.
you guys take care over there and have a great weekend.
Okay.
Stay safe.
Night. Bye.
Thank you, David. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I want to go to England now. I want to go to Scotland now. Mm-hmm. So we'll write up. That was great. Yeah, so we're going to have to start tuning into his live shows and everything.
Definitely.
So Project Paranormal, The Dead Speak, I think, is what he said. And When the Dead Speak, I'm sorry. And that's on YouTube as well. And he is David Barrett, Scottish Paranormal Investigator. His books also, and I'm sure you can get it from his page, My Life as a Scottish Paranormal Investigator. And he's got another one coming out. So that was a great interview. I hope he comes back soon and talks one day with us. But he agreed. It's all fake.
You know, I wanted to ask him about that guy on the haunted. What's his name? That
they had. Cora. Yeah.
Yes, I almost did, but I didn't want to offend him.
No, I'm pretty sure he would have had a big piece to say about it because you know that's the kind of stuff that gives people bad names. You know, running around slipping out. And making it up. So and we knew that was bad. I mean, it's really pure entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. So, well, anyway, that wraps up another Supernatural Substation. If somebody's looking for Bernadine LeBlanc, where do they find you?
They find me at lspr-society.com. My email is on there.
Yeah, look for Bernadine LeBlanc, and you can find me at ellencastania.net and my books. Books make great gifts any time of the year, and if you order from me through my website, I'll sign them and send them to you. I'm also, and we are, Supernatural Substation page on Facebook. We have a YouTube account. I'm trying to keep it up. I really am trying to get all the shows over there. So, but anyway, you can find us on Facebook as well. And let's see. I think that's it. Oh, I know I've got another show coming up. Terminus at 2 a.m. Stay up, get scared, because tonight, The King in Yellow. So we've got 3 hours a really creepy music setup for you. Tonight, 2 a.m. at www.uprntalkradio.com. As I said, this has been the Supernatural Substation. Stay tuned for Kathy Bilski. We're going to go quantum and we're going to get high with Kathy. Remember that we are on Spreaker, SoundCloud, the radio station itself, the UPRN main site. You can listen live to us there. And we are an iHeart Radio partner. So everybody, schön die Gurn. What is it? We're going to wear green. Don't forget to wear green because tomorrow's St. Patrick's. And you know what Sunday is, right? St. Joseph's is down here in the South. So go get a free meal from the church. Anyway, have a good one. Say good night, Dean.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.